Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Jesus says something here in John chapter 11 that is the crucial call to faith about the death of Lazarus. This sickness, says Jesus, is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And then in the midst of this, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, this is very, very powerful. Jesus has been calling them to believe. And he had called them to believe that even this sickness, Lazarus goes ahead and he goes through the sickness and he dies. Jesus comes upon the scene. He had called them to believe. But remember the struggle here. This sickness is not unto death, but Lazarus died. So what Jesus had said did not seem to correlate with reality. And this is the fact of the Christian faith. This is what Jesus is constantly doing to the Christian to help him understand and to trust him. Jesus calls us to believe him at his bare word. This is faith, to trust the word of God, even when my circumstances and the things that happen, even death, don't seem to correspond to the promise or the goodness of God or anything that I've even understood. Trusting the bare word of God. So Jesus has come upon this scene. Mary and Martha are weeping. Lazarus has died. And what happens? She says to Jesus, Martha, even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus calls her to faith. Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. I know he will rise. But I'm grieving that what happened here seems to not fit reality. In other words, why this way? If you would have been here, this could have been prevented. This is what I rehearsed yesterday. This is what I see. My dilemma is why, oh Lord, why do God's people go through this? They believe the gospel. They've trusted Christ. Why does God cause his people to pass through the valley of the shadow of death and experience the horrible experience of death, unexpected, death of loved ones, death of a child? Why these sorrows? The basic answer is we're not home. As one pastor said, the very thought of death, bereavement through death, the feeling of sickness and suffering, and the consciousness of approaching death, these all have a very beneficial effect on the people of God. They serve to humble the proud, to mortify the flesh, to check worldliness, and to foster spiritual mindedness. Mary and Martha want answers. This is the best place to be. Martha says, I know that whatever you say, God will give you, but I know that my brother will rise at the resurrection of the last day. What is the basis for that resurrection? Martha and Mary have to grasp that, and so do you. Can the Son of God defeat death? You're going to die, dear listener. You don't know how. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be years from now. Your loved one, dear listener, is going to die. How do you know that this enemy can be defeated? This is the grand moment of everything that we study in John 11. Everything that we understand that gives true consolation in life and in death. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What a declaration our Lord just made. In one sweeping promise, Jesus took upon himself all the power, all the responsibility to swallow up death with victory. I am the resurrection. I am the one through whom there's life. That though one may die, he shall live. whoever believes in me, he's never going to die. Now, I applied it the opposite way. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will die. Now, it's obvious he's not talking just physically, is he? He's talking spiritual. There are eternal consequences for your choices in the present. There are eternal consequences for rejecting the Son of God. There is hell. There is eternal separation from God. But what a promise Jesus is here making. Whosoever believes in him, though he may die, he will live. No hell, no judgment. Live forever in glory. And then he asks this penetrating question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, dear listener? Notice Jesus didn't raise Lazarus and then say, see, now believe. He calls people to believe without seeing, even in his own resurrection. Thomas is going to say, I won't believe unless I see. Did Jesus commend that? No. Jesus said to Thomas, yes, you believe because you saw. Blessed are those who believe and do not see. That affects how we move forward in the face of death, doesn't it? Without faith, we go through life frantically. Unbelief will attack and call into question God's goodness, his providence, his wisdom, his kindness. Why this chain of circumstances? Why is it happening this way? Where's God in all of this? Anger and bitterness can take over. If unresolved, it will destroy you. It will lead you into the abyss of torment and emptiness alone. Jesus has said here, that things ultimately are ordered in this life for his glory. I have to trust that. I have to believe that, even when I don't understand it. That since he is the resurrection and the life, that means that it has to be that sadness will be turned into joy. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy in the morning. So what happens here? Jesus looks upon all their weeping. It's real, which is natural, right? To weep over death. You know, let me just say, even though the world pushes upon us today that death is a natural process, death is not a natural process. Death is a result of the fall. There is nothing that's right about death. There is nothing that we should expect to be natural about death. God never made it this way. When you see death, you should recognize very clearly and painfully something in life has gone wrong. That's why my friend Jesus has come. We read that he looked upon her weeping, all of the Jews that came with her weeping. And we read that Jesus was groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned. He was deeply moved. The word means to express anger and deep agitation. He's groaning in disgust. And he asks, where has Lazarus been laid? They take him to Lazarus. Then we read the most moving verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. The implication here is that Jesus himself felt the agony and the bearing of sorrows of what sin has caused upon this dying world. You understand completely in this context why Hebrews says that he is a high priest that can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He lived it. He knows it. Jesus Christ faced it himself. Here he is weeping. What a moving scene, isn't it? The God of heaven and earth weeping over death, the horrid consequence of sin upon his creation, and the precious, precious love that he has for his sheep. How precious in the sight of God is the death of one of his saints. Here he stands, looking over the lifeless body of Lazarus. We often hear today, oh, that's just a shell. That's not the person who's died. Look, we're not Gnostics. The Christian view of the body is a high one. We're made up of body and soul, two parts. And this very body, I always say, when we go down to the grave, and we lower a body into the grave, that is Johnny who's being lowered. Sure, the soul has gone to be with the Lord, but that very body will rise again. See the scene? Jesus is looking over one of his eternal objects of love, and it's lifeless, the body. The Jews have gathered around. Some of them begin to mock. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Boy, that's just it, isn't it? In the midst of this, there's the divide again. Some all the way along are attacking the Son of God. They will not believe. They refuse to believe. They cannot believe. Everything is now prepared, dear listener. The foolishness of men is about to be brought to nothing, and the glory of God revealed in his saints was about to be put on display. Jesus comes to the tomb. Stone lays against it. Jesus says, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." The text wants to communicate to us the corpse was rotting. It was rotting away. It stunk. Jesus says, in the middle of that, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" You see what faith is? He keeps calling us to it. "Did I not say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. Whosoever believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Do you believe this, dear listener? You're going to see the glory of God revealed. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" He who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Can you imagine seeing that? What we're seeing here is the whole scene of his own resurrection. The whole scene declared to us the purpose that Jesus had come forth, that those who believe will never die. Soon people would be coming to his own tomb, seeing the stone rolled away. Soon they would see the risen Lord. He is risen indeed, whom God himself would raise from the dead. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay." It's by the power of Christ's resurrection that the last enemy of death is defeated. Where do you stand? If you believe, you'll never die, says Jesus. You're going to be taken to be with him. Your body will be raised anew. If you don't believe, you're going to perish eternally in that sorrow. Going to a place where the worm does not die, where the flesh is continually eaten. It's an awful message. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified, the hope of glory. Believe in the Son of God. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We give you a sincere invite to join us for worship. 10 o'clock on Sundays and 6 o'clock p.m. Different services, different sermons. We preach the gospel no matter what. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.